One. Welcome back, college basketball fans, to Hoops HD's continuing 2018-19 preseason coverage. This is our American Conference preview show. I'm your host up here in the corner, Chad Sherwood. Have with us down below, John Titel. We got David Griggs and John Slico with us as well this evening. And this is one of four podcasts that we are recording simultaneously, David, correct?
Yeah, we're doing all four of them in one post. So, I mean, they're about 15, 20 minutes apiece, if that. We'll probably spend more time on this one than some of the others. But the other ones are right down there, I think, right below, if you look down there. Should be done.
All right. We maybe have some audio difficulties, so we're going to try to get that straightened out here. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear me just fine. I don't know what the hell's wrong with the rest of you.
All right. Well, let's get right into the American. And last year, the American was Titel was a kind of a snake bitten conference with significant injuries, especially at UCF and at UConn, as I recall.
Yeah, I still don't know if Altari Gilbert is the unhealthiest man alive or not. Hopefully, he can come back and get in gear this year. God knows they've had enough shakeups on the sideline at UConn without worrying about the players and stuff. But yeah, I think St. Joe's also had numerous injuries. So here's hoping the medical training staff has a good 2018-2019 season ahead of them.
Well, somebody else that needs a little bit of fixing this year that's not on the medical side, Stalico. What about, you are a Cincinnati guy. I know you're not a Cincinnati fan, but they had a bit of a complete and utter, I wouldn't call it a health problem, say complete mental breakdown, everything breakdown against Nevada in the tournament last year, and an unbelievable collapse in that game.
It was certainly unlikely, given that they had a 22-point lead in the second half, which should have been gold under Cincinnati, but it was just one of those things in a tournament that was awfully weird last year. But as far as what's coming back this year, they're not going to have the problem, Gary Clark, but they're still going to have a decent backcourt with Kane Broom and Justin Jennifer and another possible contender for American Player of the Year and Jerron Cumberland, so the cupboard is far from bare in Cincinnati, but their fans have already sold out their season ticket allotment for this year. But with teams like Ohio State, Xavier, and UCLA, you can hardly blame them for that.
Right. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
I was going to say, beyond that, there's not going to be that many other opportunities. They're going to be playing at UNLV and also the Emerald Coast Classic, where they go off against an up-and-coming George Mason team and either Baylor or Ole Miss in the final for that one.
Yeah, but, well, David, what about the Cincinnati team? Are they the best team in the America this year heading into the season?
I don't think so. I think they just lost too much. Now, to be fair to Cincinnati, they always seem to improve as the year goes along. They always seem to finish ahead of where they're forecasted at. I think Mick Cronin's actually done a better job than what he typically gets credit for. The one question I have for them, especially after last year, if they received a waiver that allowed them to use NBA players and won every game by 50 points, would they still get into the NCAA tournament and lose in the round of 32? It is preposterous that they had a 22-point lead with one of the best defenses in the nation, and that's not an understatement. And they lost to a team that went six deep and had no real post play. No disrespect to Nevada. They were fantastic. But if they couldn't get it done last year, and by get it done, I mean get to the second weekend, get deeper in the tournament than what they've really been in the whole time Mick Cronin's been there, when are they ever going to get it done? That one had to have hurt. And it's nice to hear that there's energy around that program, that they've sold out their ticket allotment. Because at what point are Cincinnati fans just going to finally give up?
That's a good question. It's been, you know, Mick Cronin has done an amazing job on one hand, but has also just, and I don't know what it is about the tournament with this team. It's interesting that a team that's great on defense, like Cincinnati, had that meltdown. It's very similar to what Virginia, another big defensive team, did the tournament also. Is there any similarity there? Is there a problem here with defense not winning in the tournament?
That is an interesting analogy. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought of it only because, again, as I said, I think on the ACC podcast, the UMBC-Virginia upset is literally in a class of its own. But I'll go to Skyline Chili Guy, John, to ask about, like, when you lose a front court of Gary Clark, Jacob Evans, Kyle Washington, I agree the backcourt should be fine, but I assume that this is not a 31-win season waiting to happen when you lose all these big guys up front, right?
Not going to be 31 wins, but they should be in contention for at least the American crown all year. But I don't think they've lost nearly enough to the point where I would start questioning whether or not they make the field, the NCAA tournament field.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I agree that I think they'll be in the field.
Yeah. Well, David, you don't think they're going to win?
32. Call that a hunch.
David, you don't think they're going to win the American. Who do you think is going to win the American?
I kind of like – it's kind of hard to say. I go back and forth. I kind of like this UCF team, and I actually like SMU a lot too, but particularly the UCF, the big asterisk to that is they've had – talk about health issues. But, I mean, they return a lot of key players. They return a lot of guys that I think that they that would have been able to contribute even more last year had they been healthy. It's a team that goes, I think, 8 or 9 deep into their bench, maybe even more. And I just really like this team. B.J. Taylor, a senior, might be one of the better players in the conference, might contribute to his team more. I know that we're not used to seeing them in the national spotlight, but I think UCF, if they're healthy, could not only be inside the bubble, but maybe even crack the rankings before they're done this year. I really like this team.
Yeah, it's a tight tail between B.J. Taylor, Aubrey Dawkins, Taco Fall. The big question is, if these guys can these guys stay on the court? Because I kind of agree with David. If they can stay on the court, this may be the best team in the conference.
Well, everyone likes Taco, so you got to go with Fall in the middle. As far as B.J., David, you can get rid of the mic. He's the preseason pick for player of the year, so I think that he is the guy to lead them. The health issue with him specifically is a huge concern. Half of last year out with hand and foot injuries, and previously he missed an entire year with a lower leg injury. So hopefully he's running out of body parts that can physically get hurt. If healthy, he is, I think, the best player in this conference.
Well, let's go beyond. Well, Tytel, actually, let me stick with you. Do you think one of these two teams we just discussed is your best team in the conference, or is there somewhere else you're going with this league?
I think those are the two obvious picks. Houston lost Rob Gray, and he was so amazing that he can't be replaced. Wichita State lost a couple guys. There's some dark horses out there, but I think that when you look at the top of the conference, I think you guys are spot on so far.
Okay, well who would be your third best team?
I actually like SMU more than Cincinnati, but
all right. Well, Tytel, what do you think of SMU? Let's go that way.
I think that I like their veteran core: Nat Dixon, Jerry Foster, Jamal McMurray, a bunch of seniors. I love Tim Jankovic as a coach. I got to interview him a couple of years ago, and super nice and smart and a former player, and he's the real deal, I think. Foster was hurt last year. He missed half the season with a partially torn left ACL. McMurray missed half the season because he was a midseason transfer from South Florida. So assuming everyone's healthy and on the same page, I really like the veteran core they have.
And I think it's also worth pointing out that this should be the last year SMU has a depleted scholarship roster because of the sanctions during the Larry Brown regime. So by next year, they should be completely off of probation.
Yeah.
Well, if we want to stick with another team that was briefly mentioned in Sleeker, let me stick with you for this team. What about the Houston Cougars? What about Kelvin Sampson's team there? Did they lose too much to get back to the tournament, or is this still a possible tournament team here as well?
Well, they would have been a surefire team with Rob Gray, but he's already moved on. They have enough decent parts in Corey Davis Jr., Armani Brooks, Galen Robinson Jr., Breon Brady and Fabian White Jr., but will Houston give themselves enough chances, as we said earlier, like Cincinnati? Not a knockout schedule by any means, but certainly some decent names as far as Oregon, LSU, at Oklahoma State, and also at BYU. So they do have some tests, but it's not the bakery like they've had under recent years for Kelvin Sampson.
Sort of just an interesting thought/question here. the way that they went out against Michigan last year after leading for most of the game and appearing to have the game in hand, and then when you saw how the bracket sort of opened up in front of them, how much of a missed opportunity was that for a Houston team that really hadn't been in the national consciousness? They've certainly gotten better. There's certainly energy around it, but I mean, was that how much could they have sprung themselves forward had they gone a round or two deeper into the tournament, which I think they would have done had they beaten Michigan?
Well, they absolutely would have. I mean, you every round you move through the tournament, you get to the national consciousness. Well, what happened with Loyola? So
yeah,
nobody knew who they were. So I do agree that this could have been the helped with the big return of Houston basketball. And I don't know that this is a season that they're going to make a deep run. I think this is more of a season personally that they have a shot to make the tournament. They're going to be maybe a bubble-ish type of team.
Right, I agree with that.
And another side note on Houston, their first four home games are actually going to be played at Texas Southern like they were last season. So once they get to the Oregon game, they're going to be playing in what will now be rechristened as the Fertitta Center, formerly the Hoff-Hines Pavilion. So they'll make their triumphant return back to campus.
Well, Tytel, you kind of christened B.J. Taylor Player of the Year for the conference. What about UConn? What about Danny Hurley coming in? You've got Jalen Adams there, assuming he's healthy. Altari Gilbert, assuming he's healthy. Could Danny Hurley put this team in the tournament in his first year?
Could. I'm leaning no, only because I think there's too many question marks. Like I said, Gilbert has missed most of the last 2 years with shoulder injuries. So this is not something where he got a little bump, missed a few games, and was okay. Like, this is a chronic, recurring, serious thing. Jalen Adams, there's nobody else I want more to take a 65-footer in triple overtime, as John well knows. But besides that, I don't know if he's – could be player of the year. He can score. I don't know about the other stuff. I like Terrence Smith as the returning and reigning sixth man of the year, who played for, ironically, Bob Hurley at St. Anthony High School. Great backcourt, I think, with several – point guard, shooting guard guys. I don't know about the front court this year, though.
Well, David, we're almost halfway through the American. We have not yet mentioned a team that's made seven straight NCAA tournaments. What about Wichita State?
Well, they had a really good team last year. I know they went out early in the NCAA tournament, a lot earlier than what many were expecting. And they had a really good team last year, and they went out early in the NCAA tournament.
Okay. Yeah, I mean – McDuffie is back for this team.
Could you say that the nice way to say it is they've had a lot of roster turnover.
Yeah, I think you have McDuffie back, and that might be it. Now, McDuffie may put up a ton of points this year and become a star, but I don't know who else is really left on this team. So I don't think this Wichita State team is a tournament team this year.
Yeah, I believe they have seven guys that have never played in a Division I college basketball game and another two or three that have only played maybe 10 minutes of a Division I college basketball game. It's just I love this program. I'm not going to crap on them or say that they're – I mean, every team kind of goes through a cycle like this. I just don't see them having it this year with as much as they lost – and with what little we know about such a young team. No transfers either. I mean, I think they've got eight freshmen. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, we're going to know off the bat just what to expect from Wichita, because they do have a neutral game against Providence, and they're also going to be in the Charleston Classic on the same half as Davidson and either Purdue or Appalachian State.
Excuse me. I don't want to overstate their youth. Seven freshmen. My mistake.
Tytel, I've been hitting you up on this Conference Player of the Year thing. Let me throw another name at you. According to the website, the 2017-18 Hoops HD American Conference Player of the Year, Jeremiah Martin over at Memphis with new head coach Anthony Hardaway. How about Penny and the Tigers?
It's a good fit. I think Martin is also going to be a strong candidate along with Taylor at UCF. They also have more senior leadership with Kyvon Davenport, who was a first-team junior college All-American. I think Penny's been a very successful high school and AAU coach, to be determined whether that can translate to the college level, of course. If he needs any help with three-point shooting, he's got an assistant named Mike Miller, who remains in the top 25 all time in the NBA in three-point shooting, both number of makes and percentage. I think this is something where the first year is a little transition, is a lot transitional, but I think that Penny is becoming a great recruiter. I wish Zukowski was here to break down all the recruiting stats for Memphis, but he's bringing in like top 50 guys because he has these contacts. I don't think he's paying off people. I don't think he's having the FBI get involved. I think he just has coached these great players and is now ready to bring them literally to the next level.
I agree. I think that this is going to be a fun Memphis team to watch next year, the year after. I do think that they struggle this season. A team that is going to have a lot of change next season, Stalica, the Temple Owls, Fran Dunphy, his final go-around this season before his retirement. Aaron McKee is going to take over next year. He's the coach in waiting there. Do you think that Dunphy can get one last tournament bid here in his last go-around?
Well, last year they were starting like they were going to make a run for the NCAA tournament. They actually won. I think it was the Charleston Classic early on with wins against Clemson and also Auburn. But they also tailed off with losses against LaSalle and GW and ended up finishing 8-10 in an improving American Conference. They went 1-5 against the top three in UC, Houston, and Wichita State. But when you're losing to teams like Memphis and Tulane, that torpedoed their chances. They lose Obi and Echenoya in the post, but they'll still have a decent backcourt of Quentin Rose and Shiz Alston Jr. So they should be a contender in the American this year, but I think they should be improved enough to the point where they'll at least be on the bubble, but far from confident they'll be dancing come March.
Well, and Tytel, you being a Penn guy, you've followed Fran Dunphy's entire career. Any thoughts about this being his last year and maybe a shot to give him one last hurrah?
I want to say bittersweet, but like there's nothing sweet about it. I mean, he was my guy when I went to college at Penn, and he won every single conference game for three straight years, and he made the NCAA tournament every year. We beat Nebraska in the tournament, and we were hanging with Florida. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, I'm glad that Donahue's there, and we were leading Kansas last March, but Dunphy has a special place in my heart, so it's hard for me to be unbiased. He should become one of a very, very small number of coaches in the history of the sport who have won 250 games at two different schools, Penn and Temple. This is stuff I think like Roy Williams did it at Kansas and Carolina, but it's a very, very small number of people because, as you might imagine, once you win 250 at one school, you're probably going to stick around there. He decided to make the cross-city leap, North Philly, and it worked out very well for all parties involved, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll probably be talking a lot for Dunphy, especially around March when his season does come to an end. But, David, the rest of this conference here, I wanted to talk about two teams for me. Two of your favorite head coaches are in this conference. Now, Tulsa has Frank Haith and South Florida Brian Gregory. Any thoughts on either one of those teams' chances this year?
Let's see. Frank Haith at Tulsa may also be in his final year, right along with Fran Dunphy. For very different reasons. This man has crashed more teams into mountains than it just blows the mind. And he always seems to fall up. Like, he always seems to land at a place that's better than the team that he left so he can ruin another chance. I remember it wasn't that long ago when Danny Manning was at Tulsa and they were fringe bubble most of the time. Those days are long gone, so not a fan of his. Brian Gregory, I got to say this. Personally, I think he's a nice man. I actually like him. He just hasn't won anywhere to the degree that you think he should have. At Dayton, he did all right. He was winning about 20 games a year, but he was finishing routinely in the middle of a conference that predominantly everybody else had half of the resources he did. Georgia Tech never got it going. South Florida hasn't got it going, probably won't.
Well, I don't think we'll see much out of Tulsa or South Florida this year. Tytel, let me ask you about another team, though, that I kind of calling a bit of a dark horse myself here. What about the green wave down in Tulane with the job Mike Dunleavy has been very slowly doing there, but starting to get some players in?
He is, and he is going abroad to get them. He's got Samir Sehik, who was born in Bosnia, Ray Onaembo, who was born in France and won a bronze medal with France at last year's FIBA European Championships. So it's nice to see them broadening the recruiting base I got to interview Coach Dunleavy and posted it a few days ago. Super nice guy. Amazing. He was involved as a coach for the Larry Bird switch hands play and the Michael Jordan switch hands play, the two most famous switch hands play in the history of the world. He was there for them both. I don't know that there's enough other pieces there, but I like the coach and I like the international guys, and I don't think they're making the tournament.
Love the mascot, the angry wave. Love it.
Well, Stalika, let me give you the final team of this conference we have to address, see if there's anything you want to discuss with them. Joe Dooley with his return to the head coaching reins at East Carolina, coming over from Florida Gulf Coast. We had a ton of success. Your thoughts on the Pirates' chances with the new slash old head coach there in Dooley?
It does seem to be a little bit of an odd move, but at the same time, it's a much different situation at East Carolina as opposed to Gulf Coast, where he was getting to the NCAA tournament with a degree of regularity. He never got as far as his predecessor, Andy Enfield, did, but at the same time, you have to wonder if they can at least, if 500 is going to be their ceiling or whether they do start to make a run, because I'm not really sure about the resources that East Carolina has compared to other schools in the American, but probably got to give them at least a couple years.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything out of that team for this year. But on that note, why don't I run through each of you here? We kind of already discussed the players of the year, and I think there was almost consensus about BJ Taylor. But let me run through each of you and ask you who you think is going to win this conference, and second, how many bids total we're going to get out of this league. And David, let me start with you on that question.
I'm going to go with UCF, and I think I feel pretty confident that UCF, SMU, who I seem to be bigger on than you guys, and Cincinnati will all be in. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a fourth. I just don't really know who it's going to be. I could see Temple being kind of bubble-ish, maybe Houston, simply because Houston always seems to exceed expectations. But I feel confident with at least three and perhaps a fourth if someone can rise up, avoid stubbing their toes, and then get a big win against one of the top three teams.
Well, I personally kind of think it is four. I'm kind of with you on that. I think Cincinnati takes it. I got UCF, Houston, and UConn even better than SMU myself. Tytel, what are your thoughts?
Very different. I think that this conference is lucky to get four bids. I think Cincinnati's a slam dunk. Even though Wichita lost a ton of guys, like Greg Marshall can coach, and I'm not going to pick against him. I think everybody else has too many holes. UCF with the health, UConn with the lack of big men. So I'm going to set the over-under at 2.5 and take the under at 2 with the caveat that I think Memphis is going to make the tournament for the next 5 years starting next year because they're going to be that good.
And I'll agree with that. And I think Wichita State will make the tournament for the next 5 years. I just think that this is the off year. Stalika.
I'm going to say right now, I'm probably going to say three bids with UC and UCF more likely than not getting in. I like either Houston or Temple to get the third bid, but I wouldn't be terribly shocked if someone actually stole another bid on Selection Sunday. But will that be to the detriment of another conference member? Remains to be seen.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty much it for the Americans. Let me run through any other final thoughts. And Stalika, you're on my screen, so let me start with you. Any other final thoughts about the American this season?
Well, Cincinnati, they had a former assistant coach Larry Davis resign suddenly in September. Turns out earlier this week we found out that one of the reasons was because he actually pled guilty in federal court to assault of a passenger on a plane, which turned out to be groping a female passenger. So needless to say, since Cincinnati had more or less dismissed him, but he had resigned and they have already made some coaching changes. So not a good off season for Larry Davis, who had actually filled in a couple seasons ago as acting head coach while Mick Cronin was under the weather for health reasons.
All right. Tytel.
I'm going to give you a very, very dark horse for player of the year. He did not make the preseason all-conference first team. That is senior shooting guard Isaac Fleming out of ECU. Two reasons. One, He has the only two triple doubles in the history of the school. So he's got the all-around game. He's going to pile up stats in a bunch of different categories. Secondly, he's got a new coach who he needs to trust in some senior leadership, and he's it. Joe Dooley, not just your average first-year coach, the two-time defending conference coach of the year at Florida Gulf Coast. I don't know if Isaac Fleming is going to do it, but keep an eye on him. I think he's going to put up some very big stats this year.
Right, David, let me let you finish off the American.
Again, we don't really group this with the Power Six just yet, but I mean, the last few years we've seen teams from this league that are every bit as good, but the one thing with we haven't really seen anybody from this conference go really deep in the tournament, really since its inception when UConn won it all. As good as it is, and it is good, why is it that this league struggles to get teams past the first weekend? And I don't know. There's nobody that's really jumping off the page. Last year, some of us, including myself, were picking Wichita in the Final Four in the preseason. I think a lot of us expected Cincinnati to go deep, and even I think some of us liked Houston's chances to get at least past the Sweet 16. But this league has not experienced a lot of tournament success as good as it's been.
I think a problem has been the UConn being down, Memphis having been down the last few years recently. Those are some of the power names that are left in this conference. So as these programs get better, and I think they both will with their new coaches,
Yeah. We
may actually see a deep run in the next, maybe not this year, but in the next 2 to 3 years, we may see a couple deep runs.
As good as SMU has been, and they've been a great story how improved they are, I don't think they've made it past the round of 64, have they? I don't recall them even getting that far.
No, they haven't won a tournament game in the American yet.
Okay.
Well, NCAA tournament game.
Did we lose Chad?
Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
Yes.
We sort of can. We've lost.
Okay, well, I am back now. Okay, sorry about that, guys. We're back and we're finishing the show. So I was getting ready to those other podcasts, David. We're going to be below us here, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference. Watch them all at the same time. And
right.
We'll talk to you again real soon.